You're listening to Inform and Connect, a podcast of the American Foundation for the Blind. And now your host, Melanie Goodspeed.
Hi, everybody. This is Melody Goodspeed with the American Foundation for the Blind. I am the Associate Director of Development here at AFB. It brings me great joy to kick off our spring season of the Inform and Connect podcast. Please welcome Timothy Breitenfeld from JP Morgan Chase. Timothy is going to take us on a ride of being a computer scientist at the JP Morgan Chase as someone who is blind. We are so excited to have our friends from JP Morgan Chase here with us today. And we're going to have a really fun conversation about all things Timothy Breitenfeld, who's with us today. Timothy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I'm so glad to have you. And I didn't butcher your last name, did I?
No, you did good.
Okay, good. Well, I'm so glad to have you back with us. You know, we did this with some coworkers of yours last year. And so I'm really, really, really jazzed to have you here to kind of chat out and hear your own story.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So Timothy, we're so excited to have you here with us today, and we get to talk all things career and you, and I'm super excited.
Yes, I'm super excited as well. I can, you know, just talk about my story and be able to tell people about my journey to get where I'm at today. So
awesome. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing your story. Timothy, can you kind of walk us through what got you into computer science and all that fun stuff?
Sure. So for me, it was kind of a journey for me because I honestly didn't think that programming was something I could do. I've always been interested in computers. They've always been fascinating to me. And back when I was in high school, I went through a vocational, Skills Center is what it was called. It's a vocational school that we went through, and I learned about, took an IT class there and was able to kind of go through a lot of, you know, IT support stuff, learned about networking, troubleshooting, you know, computers and all these things. And honestly, I kind of expected going that route, which was, you know, kind of help desk support, kind of doing that with a screen reader as a blind user myself. I have almost no vision myself, and I was very wary of it. It would sound like it was going to be a very difficult, you know, journey, but I was like, you know, I don't know, I think it might be doable. And I was kind of really exploring that. At the end of that class, they also did some C++ video game programming, and unfortunately my teacher didn't know how to make that accessible for me. And I just didn't know enough about what was going on. And I'd never touched any kind of programming before, you know, in my life. And I had no idea how to help and advise him and where, what direction to go, when I didn't know anyone. And so we kind of just adjusted that. And I did some web development stuff, just HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript. And that was kind of my first exposure to any kind of coding. And you know, the first time I had actually done a little bit of programming was when I was actually at the Blind Washington State School for the Blind, and they were like teaching me. There was a class on programming that they did, and I had this opportunity to kind of go through this, and I don't know. Honestly, I didn't do great. It was a new programming language specifically for blind people. It's called CORM. Actually, not specifically for blind people, but it was built for accessibility, to be accessible for blind people. And honestly, it was very difficult for me. And so I walked out, I got my associates, and I, you know, started using my electives to feel out where I wanted to go. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I just knew it was going to be something to do with computers. So I, you know, took a server administration class, I took a networking class, I was very hesitant, but I, you know, with my experience before and in programming, I honestly didn't think I could do it, but I took a Python class, my first programming class in college, and I passed it with like 110%, and I was like, you know, maybe this is it.
Yes,
And,
that's great.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, I went on to get my bachelor's in computer science. So, so I very, you know, very happy to, you know, be where I'm at today. It was quite a long journey to get here, and yeah.
Well, to me, I love the fact that you're really talking about the barriers in the sense that, you know, we're always having to, and you kept fighting. And I think that's one of the things that we have to talk about when we're looking at anything in life, right? And when you talked about your first professor not really showing how to make it accessible, and then when you went back and did so great with Python, what do you think the differences were?
I think part of it really came down to you know, when I was in high school, I don't know, I think the part of it came down to, I just didn't, I think part of it was the material in part, the material we were covering when I was in high school, where I was kind of going to that vocational school, they were very, it was on a debatably a bit more advanced, jumping straight into video game programming. And there was a lot of resources that he provided that were, you know, not going to be very helpful for me. You know, I mean, there's audio games out there and stuff you can build, but it's, you know, it's not like there's documentation and stuff for building them, really. It's, you know, pretty a niche, you know, area for building, you know, games for the blind and visually impaired. And I had no idea how to go about that. And so, you know, with Python, at least we really started from the bottom up. You know, we really started from the beginning, and we were able to kind of go through that. And not to mention, I think part of it also came down to, I'd come along a bit further about, you know, resources that were available to me. You know, and I'd met more people. And it's, you know, you got to kind of, you know, you have to network, you got to get in, you got to, you know, learn about the resources that are available to help you in your field, and especially as a blind person.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because, you know, networking is so important, but and being a self-advocate is what I'm hearing a lot of you talking about. Can we touch a little bit on that? I mean, I know mm-hmm. that, you know, it sounds like you were really passionate and knew that that was the path you wanted to go down and getting there. Can you talk a little bit about some of those things that you did to come farther to where you are now?
Sure. Yeah. So it was, it definitely required a lot of self-advocacy. Absolutely. It's, you know, you gotta have the drive, the passion for what you're doing. And, you just got to keep kind of trudging forward. And as things, you know, pop up, you just kind of have to, you know, work it out with your instructors or disability support services, you know, and use all the resources you have, you know. So for me, I, you know, as I kind of went through some of the programming classes I took when I was in community college, I, you know, really worked, you know, very closely with my instructor. You know, I disability support services, you know, I got as much help as I could from them. You know, if I needed accessible, you know, materials, I would go to them, you know, if, you know, I had a PDF or some documents or something, handouts that were, you know, I needed scanned or in some kind of accessible format, of course I'd go to them. But a huge part of it came down to, I mean, disability support services isn't going to tell, you know, help me determine what is the best, you know, tool for the blind and visually impaired to be using to be writing code. It's mm-hmm. like DSS can't help with that. You know, it requires a lot of self-advocacy, you know, talking with instructors, kind of doing your own research and really exploring and, you know, ideally, you know, trying to find one of those communities, which I didn't really know existed back then, that are out there. There's lots of you know, blind communities out there, you know, mailing lists and websites, forums specifically with blind programmers on them, you know, and people can answer these questions. But, you know, when you're first starting, I had no idea for me. I had no idea those resources were out there. And so I was very much self-taught in that regard. I did all my own research and kind of found, some solutions to some of the problems I was having. And in some cases, it's like in terms of material, like when I was in university, I mean, there were some days when I needed to be, in my office, at my teacher's office every other day because some of the material we were covering was just very difficult for me to understand. He'd write things up on the board and maybe he's using diagrams or images, pictures. He's drawing stuff up on the board to kind of help get the concept across. And it's we were talking about operating systems and scheduling, process, scheduling algorithms for process, processes. And it was really complex and very difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around about the different kind of algorithms. And so, it's like for that, it was incredibly important for me to just be in my teacher's office and just be able to sit down with him. And we kind of went hand over hand with certain tactile stuff. He'd use like pennies or note cards as ways to kind of like demonstrate different things. And it really did help a lot,
That's incredible. As you were with your professors and finding other ways for you to comprehend it, which is so important, like myself being someone who is blind and using screen readers, I totally get this. Trying to find different ways of understanding something when you don't have that physical sight to see it. When you guys were both exploring those things, did maybe your professor or yourself find a different way of communicating, or maybe something creative that came out of that with the different way that you learn?
I mean, definitely in terms of, kind of what I was saying, using like the big one for me was learning about, this thing called linked lists in programming. It's a type of data structure that it's one of the first data structures you tend to learn about when you get into the computer science, and you really start getting into the classes and start talking about data structures. And linked list, it was something that kind of popped up at one point, and I kind of glossed over. I didn't really understand it at the time, and I just kind of glossed over, and it finally came up, and we were really doing a deep dive into it, really understanding what was going on in this data structure, how all of these things were connected, and how everything was working. And I was really struggling with it, and I went into my teacher and was like, "This is my problem. I've seen this before, but I did not understand it." And he's like, "Well, this is really important for the degree. You need to understand this." So we sat down and we kind of talked through it, and I still wasn't quite getting it. And finally he's like, "Hold on." And he's like, he grabbed what he did was he grabbed note cards, right? As kind of saying before, and he used paper clips. And so, the whole thing about, linked lists, you have basically elements that are connected to each other. And it's like you have next and previous references to next elements and previous elements. And he's like using paper clips to kind of represent these references to the next element. They're links in the chain, very similar to like a a train, right? You have links that link two train cars together, and it was like these a lot of that those physical things really, really helped me. And I kind of took that on into some of my other classes where we really started talking about other data structures that very easy to map up on a whiteboard, to explain it, but very difficult to explain to a blind person who's just not getting that imagery. And we kind of took a lot of those same concepts into, within my teacher kind of took that to some of my other instructors and what we worked for us, when I worked with him. And it really helped a lot to really have that hands-on experience of really understanding. It's like, okay, at a high level, this is what's going on, and I can kind of really feel what's going on. So
That is great. So it sounds like you really took that learning experience and used it as transferable skills into other areas that you were learning throughout your degree. That's awesome. That's so great. I think it's really hard, being blind to try to function in a world where, we learn differently, and being able to push forward really does have to take that self-advocacy piece. Now, When you were with college, how can you talk us through like any internships that you may have had?
So, not really. Unfortunately, my program did not actually have any internships in the program. It was something that I really wanted to do, especially because I knew that as a blind person, it is a struggle to get a job in industry.
Yes.
I mean, regardless of what your field is, and you're fighting an uphill battle. Having a degree helps, but unfortunately, I tried, so it wasn't a requirement for the degree. As a result, it wasn't something that was just kind of landed in my lap, right? And
Yeah.
but I mean, I could do an internship optionally, during one of the summer quarters or something. And I was applying. I did apply, but I never got an internship, unfortunately. And that's just kind of the way it goes. I'm sure everyone who's out there who's as a blind person applied for jobs and gotten turned down, it's no fun. And I kind of got a little sneak peek into what my life would be like job hunting,
Yes.
before I got there. So
No, I'm so glad you brought this up, Timothy, because it really is. It's it, we can, especially since you've listening to your journey, such a dedicated worker, really passionate about what you're doing, and then found ways to bring it forward. And it is difficult, which is one of our mission of, helping with that employment rate. Can you talk to us about your experience at JP Morgan Chase, like how you found what you're doing now?
Sure. So it was actually kind of a strange path that I took to get here. I actually started out, I mean, I walked out of college, in 2019, and with my bachelor's in computer science, and I started job hunting. And I walked into interview after interview, and the thing that I kept getting told over and over and over again, which I kind of understood, although I wonder if there was other aspects to it, was I don't have enough experience.
Right.
Right now, there's part of it. I mean, I did all of my interviews were remote. The joys, I guess, of working in this field is, it's very technological, and a lot of the work can be done remotely. And I was, I at this point in my life, I was willing to go just about anywhere. I wanted to stay near in the area where my family was, but I'm I don't know. I was kind of ready to go anywhere at this point. I needed to experience my resume. And basically all of my interviews were all remote, and blindness would come up. I mean, I would drop it into an interview, and the age-old question, it's like, when do you tell an employer that you're blind? I mean, I personally like to weave it into my answer to a question or something somewhere, and let it fall in naturally. I don't like dropping it off at the beginning. I like proving to them that I'm, I have the ability to do this job. And, after they understand that I have the ability to do this job, we'll try and weave it into conversation somehow, as something a bit more natural. But, I don't know. As I say, over and over again, I just kept thinking, well, I don't have enough experience. And which, part of that's a catch 22. You need experience to get experience. And
Right.
what do you do? But, my question also is, I mean, how much was that was just them telling me as an excuse because they didn't want to hire a blind person? I don't know, But, that aside, I mean, I eventually got hired. It was an apprenticeship, actually, through a company called SmoothStack, and it was based out of Fairfax, Virginia, though. So it was going to be a pretty big leap for me to just kind of leave home. I was going to have to go fly all the way to Fairfax, be down there for 3 months for training. They'd put me up at corporate housing, and then they would contract me out to one of their clients. And unfortunately, I finished training. It was like March of 2020, right as COVID hit. So I'm sitting there in Fairfax, and I feel like stranded in corporate housing. And in the end, long story short, I ended up getting furloughed from them because they just weren't able to find me a client to work with. But I mean, I had this amazing skill set. I felt very qualified after the training I got. Their training was fabulous. I still didn't have a job, and now we had COVID, you know, and I was like, you know, so I, in the end, I, you know, right after I got, you know, furloughed from them, I kind of started job hunting on my own. And, about 2 months later, I got picked up by an organization called Blind Institute of Technology. They reached out to me. They're another resource for the blind and visually impaired for, you know, helping find jobs specifically in the technology field.
Great BIT, organization.
Yeah, BIT was great. They were like, we can help you find a job. And I was like, okay. Where have you been for the past 2 years? I kind of went over, and I made it through their kind of vetting process, like, it, you know, very fast. And they, as I was going through the process, they were like, well, we have this company that Chase that you know, we're working with, and you know, you might be a good fit for. I was like, cool. So I walked straight out of their vetting process into an interview with Chase, and I guess I nailed the interview because I got the job. So it was, I was so excited when I finally got the acceptance letter, and there's like, it was finally real. So
that's great. And you got to do the happy dance, the happy job dance.
Yes.
that is so wonderful. You know, one of the things that, you know, when we're coming to as we wrap this up, you'd mentioned, you know, networking, which I want to touch on, but your experience at JP Morgan Chase, what did you say about, you know, your company that has really set them different, you know, apart from other organizations? I mean, we've talked about, you know, and I've been there too, the interview process and being able to have that experience to get experience. What kind of areas have you really celebrated being at JP Morgan Chase?
Yeah. So I would say some of the big stuff, your big points. I mean, Chase has, you know, some, you know, focus on disability and accessibility and inclusion. You know, it's, you know, they're really focused on making sure everyone can do their job. And that is one thing that I'll say is, you know, when I got hired, I was like, well, I need these things to do my job. I need a screen reader. And, you know, I use both NVDA and JAWS as needed. You know, they were like, okay. So they went out and, they were able to get me a laptop and get all the software installed and get it shipped out to me. And, I was, you know, it was a bit of a process and at first, and you know, once we kind of worked out all the kinks and what was going on, I was even kind of involved in helping iron out some of the details in terms of my hiring process, because there are some things that I, you know, I was like, some of this could have been done better. And you know, a lot of people agreed. And I mean, I'm not exactly the first person to be hired at Chase who's blind, for sure, but my particular experience was, you know, just, it was a bit difficult. And so, you know, they helped, you know, develop a, you know, a new team to help handle specific, you know, tech support, accessibility, you know, and disability, you know, answers regarding like assistive technology. And in that, you know, I feel like I've heard that that's helping, you know, onboarding processes go a lot smoother now. And, yes. And, you know, I've been, you know, while I've been working at Chase, I've been able to really connect with some of the, you know, digital accessibility teams. And, you know, I'm really trying to help push for digital accessibility within the firm, and, you know, for, for apps, you know. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of support. You know, we all have, you know, there's growth to be had everywhere, of course, but it's like there's a lot of people who are listening to what people have to say, and you know, and we're, you know, progress is being made. So
that's great. It sounds like you formed a partnership and streamlined processes right at the beginning. So that's so incredible. Yeah. That's really, really great. Well, Timothy, thank you so much for sharing your story. Just speaking for our listeners, if you know, you clearly mapped out what it is you wanted to do. And one of the things with employment is, you know, even self-included, you think, okay, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to get the best job and kind of go, but you really have proven that you can do and follow your dreams and doing what it is you want to do. What advice would you give to, you know, someone who's in college right now or is facing these struggles of finding an internship? We had mentioned networking, but what kind of maybe some tips and tricks really helped you?
Yeah. The biggest thing that I can recommend to anyone is get on the mailing list. If you don't know they exist, they do. So there are blind programming mailing lists that are out there. They are just a gold mine of you know, for a resource of information. You know, you can post a question and you just have a pool of other blind developers. You know, the one that I'm on, Program ML, it is from, you know, blind developers from all over the world. And it's, you know, it is incredible. There's some others like NFB, you know, computer science mailing list, NFBCS. And I'm sure that there's others that I'm not mentioning. They are huge. Because the biggest thing that I can encourage anyone is to try, like, that helped me the most is, I remember, like, remembering it's like, you're not the first person to do this. You're not reinventing the wheel. All right. That's always the hardest. Right. And I mean, there's parts of what you're doing that people go through. It's like, you kind of are, it's like, you have to, sometimes you walk in and you've had it. This is a teacher. You've never worked with a blind student before. And suddenly you have to teach them how to work with a blind, you know, blind person. And, you know, I did that. It felt like every darn class I had, it was a rare thing when I walked in and they're like, oh, I've had a blind student before. And I was like, oh, really? So you're like one of like three out of everyone I've had in my degree. So that's great. So, but, you know, it's finding those resources and, you know, it's like networking is, you know, is kind of like intertwined with that. It's, you know, those resources really help you to start meeting people. You know, sometimes on those mailing lists, they'll kind of put out things. That was actually how I got involved with BIT. They posted something on the mailing list that I was on, and they said that they were looking at expanding. They were trying to find, you know, new candidates, you know, new people who were interested in trying to find a job in the computer science space and then as a software engineer and or in the IT space even. And I was like, yes. And, you know, and I reached out to them, but, you know, because I was a part of that mailing list, you know, that's how I actually ended up getting involved with them. And so, yeah, it was, that would be the biggest thing. And, you know, also it's, you know, do your research in terms of, you know, what is it that you want to be doing? So, you know, you got to sit down and kind of do some self-exploration on the technologies that you're going to be using for classes and, you know, in terms of what's accessible, what's not, you know, and that way you're not spending your time learning the tools while trying to learn the programming language at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's no fun. I've done that. It's very, very difficult. You know, it's, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, and it's more work.
Yes.
I mean, I won't lie. It requires you to do a lot more work than the average person. These are just kind of what I did to get where I'm at. But yeah.
Well, Timothy, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. And I agree with you. All these things are Definitely helpful. And thank you so much, most of all, for sharing your journey with us, because it's, you know, it's a tough road, but you got sticking with it and you're in a fulfilling career with a great company. And we just really appreciate you coming on in, talking with us today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. If you want to know what we are up to at AFB, you can visit A as in Apple, F as in Frank, B as in boy.org, and check us out with our mission and programs. And thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Inform and Connect, a podcast of the American Foundation for the Blind. For questions or to find out more about the podcast, email communications@afb.org. Consider making a gift today to support the American Foundation for the Blind. Go to www.afb.org. AFB, creating a world of no limits for people who are blind or have low vision.